Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're going to talk about the other good thing the Supreme Court did yesterday. I've already done a video on the Timms versus Indiana decision, which we liked, and that came down yesterday. And also yesterday, in a much smaller action, the Supreme Court simply declined to hear a case. And the case they declined to hear was about the beach walking, which we mentioned a while back in a video I did. And by declining to hear the case, they are letting the lower court's ruling stand. And there's no actual explanation as to why they do that, but it's a good sign. I would rather have them take the issue up and rule the way I would like them to, but this is the next best thing. So I found several stories about this on the internet. I found one here written by a guy named Dan Carden. And the headline is, U.S. Supreme Court won't change Indiana ruling. Lake Michigan's shoreline belongs to all Hoosiers. And what we're talking about is there are Great Lakes in North America. And there are shorelines of the Great Lakes in many states. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, and so on, all have shorelines on the Great Lakes. And if you own a piece of property in one of those states and you own the property that is adjacent to the shoreline, if there's a beach there, most of the states, according to my understanding, actually recognize that you own the property in essence to the high water mark. And then from the high water mark down to the water is owned by the state. That is how it is in Michigan, Indiana, and I also believe Wisconsin and Minnesota have specifically ruled on this. I have not looked at the other states, but my understanding is that's generally how it is. So what happened is this issue has been litigated in a bunch of these states. Michigan had a case called Glass versus Geckel that came down in 2005. But most recently, some landowners in Indiana asked their courts to, in essence, give them the land between the high water mark and the low water mark, which is land they never owned. So, you know, if you can't buy something, you go to court and see if you can get a court to give it to you, I guess. The U.S. Supreme Court announced Tuesday that it would not hear an appeal by lake-adjacent landowners who were seeking to extend their properties to the water's edge and to limit who could access the beaches near their homes. And this is really the issue. I've known people who've owned lakefront property on Great Lakes in Michigan, and some of them get annoyed when people will walk up and down the beach. And I've had friends who owned a piece of property where there's a campground on one side and a park on the other side, and people would routinely walk back and forth on that piece of sand between the high water mark and the water itself. Or occasionally they'd walk by knee-deep water, because you can do that too. And if you buy the piece of property and you recognize that that's what the law is, you just, yeah, that's the way it's going to be. You can't have everything. Well, it turns out if you're in Indiana and have lots of money, you can try to have everything. So the justices of the Supreme Court did not say why they denied the review. And the review had been brought by the Gundersons and their supporters in the Long Beach Lakefront Homeowners Association. The high court's refusal to intervene in the case simply was included in a 28-page order that summarily listed dozens and hundreds of appeals from across the country and just said, here's the ones we're not going to hear. And mathematically, bringing a case to the Supreme Court's a long shot anyways. My understanding is they get thousands and thousands and thousands of requests to have cases heard. And generally speaking, regular people do not have the right to demand a case be heard by the Supreme Court. There are a couple instances where the Supreme Court has what we call original jurisdiction. And that is where they have the right and they're the only venue for certain legal actions. So for instance, if Michigan, the state, wants to sue Ohio, the state, you don't do that in a federal court in Michigan. You don't do it in a federal court in Ohio. You file that action in the U.S. Supreme Court. That's a case that they're the only people who can hear that. So when it comes to a Supreme Court case like this, you know, or the one we talked about yesterday, where Timms had taken his case all the way up to the Indiana Supreme Court, he had to ask the Supreme Court for permission. You actually petition them and say, would you please hear my case? And if they accept your petition, then they'll hear your case. So my understanding is they get thousands and thousands and thousands of requests for every one that they accept. They turn down all the others. So mathematically, it's against you. And this particular case of the Gundersons in Indiana regarding the beachfront property was simply declined. And this is another thing that confuses a lot of people also. If you go to the Supreme Court and ask them to hear your case and they agree, they will then issue a ruling after they've heard, you know, oral arguments and read the briefs. And then their ruling becomes the final ruling. That's it. That's the last ruling you get, okay? Now, if you take a case from your Supreme Court and you send it up and you ask for permission to have it heard by the Supreme Court and they deny it. They will often make a note of that to indicate that the court is hinting that they agree with that opinion. But that's not always the case, because they also do occasionally accept cases and say, yes, we agree with the lower court's ruling, and we thought it was important enough for us to you know, hear it and rule on it and make sure that this, you know, people understand this is the law of the land. And then people say, well, Steve, if they didn't accept the case for hearing, isn't that an indication they agree with it? Possibly, but it's not the same as binding legal precedent. I get that all the time. People will say, Steve, there's a case that went up on, you know, on appeal, boom, 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 and it was sent to the Supreme Court, and they denied hearing it. So therefore, it's the supreme law of the land. It's like, no, it's not. It's the supreme law of whatever the last entity was that, you know, heard it and ruled on it. And you might hope that the Supreme Court would rule your way, but you don't know. So when you're writing legal briefs, attorneys know this, you often cite cases that go your way. And if it's a Supreme Court case where they decline to hear somebody appealing a case that you like, you can always say, yes, by the way, and they actually do the abbreviation, it says cert denied. And that is possibly an indicator the Supreme Court agrees with it, but not a guarantee of it. So it's not quite as good. So as a result of the High Court's refusal to accept this case for review, the Indiana Supreme Court decision in Gunderson is the final word on Lake Michigan property line boundaries in the Hoosier state. The ruling by the state's High Court definitively sets the ordinary high water mark as the boundary between the state-owned land under and adjacent to Lake Michigan and the interests of nearby private property owners. So if you're looking from the sky, or you're looking at a map of property, and you own this piece of property that runs up to the water on a great lake, you own the three, you know, edges that are all on land. And then the edge on the water side is actually just defined as the high water mark. I've had people ask me, I say, Steve, does that mean my property literally is changing in size every time the tide goes in and out, if in fact it goes in and out where you are? And no, it's the ordinary high water mark or the traditional, and there's a couple different ways to describe this. But generally speaking, if you look at a piece of beachfront property, most of the time you can see where roughly where the low water mark is and the high water mark is. Now, there are times where the lakes have been very, very low. A couple years ago, the lakes got very low. A few years ago, the lakes got very, very high. And my friends who had beachfront property on Lake Michigan one year, the lakes were so high that their beach disappeared. The high water mark had changed, but that wasn't the traditional high water mark, okay? So that is how they measure it, and that's just simply... And here's the thing. You can't complain about it if you own one of these pieces of property, because that's in your property description. It says, you know, boom, 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 and then the high water mark. That's it. And so if you look at a map of the whole area, you'll see that the state of Michigan or the state of Indiana or whatever state it is, the boundaries of the state go out into the lake. You know, and so Lake Michigan's got a dotted line down the middle of it. You can see it from the sky. And that dotted line shows that Michigan owns out to here, and Wisconsin owns out to here, and so on. And so when you look at it from the state's perspective, go from that dotted line in, you know, the state owns up to the high water mark. So that's state land. And what they talk about in these cases is how that land is being held in trust. The state as an entity is actually all of the citizens of the state. I am a citizen of the state of Michigan. And so they are holding that land in trust. That's why a lot of the lands are available for us to use. You know, you can go to a state park, I can go boating on Lake Michigan or whatever. And so they're holding that land in trust. So what the people were asking for in the Indiana case, they're actually asking the Supreme Court to say, you can have that land. You can just take that land from the state. You don't have to pay them for it. It's just yours now. We're going to redraw your property lines for you. Well, the Supreme Court wisely chose not to do that. The high water mark, essentially the edge of the beach, is defined as the line on the shore established by the fluctuations of water and indicated by physical characteristics such as a clear and natural line on the bank, shelving, or changes in the soil's character. Yeah, you go up the sand and all of a sudden it turns into black dirt. That might be the high water mark. And by the way, I've had many people say this is just an idiotic way to measure or mark land. It might be, but it goes back a long, long time. And if you look at these property descriptions, that's pretty much how it's always been. And we don't talk a lot about the common law on this show, but this is one of those things that's pretty much like a common law topic. That's where the land lines are always drawn. Within the area, from the high water mark down to the water, individuals are entitled to access the water for the traditional purposes of navigation, commerce, or fishing, and anything else that you can do legally out there. And the court said, at a minimum, walking on the beach is a protected public use. It left decisions about specifying other permissible recreational uses of the beach to the Indiana General Assembly. And likewise, that'd be the case in Michigan. So, you know, the land is owned by the state. It's being held in trust for the citizens of the state. And then the legislature would decide how you use it. So in Indiana, Senator Karen Tallien of Ogden Dunes has introduced a bill which would guarantee that Lake Michigan beach visitors in Indiana are permitted to fish, boat, swim, walk, run, sit, recline, picnic, sunbathe, birdwatch, toss a ball or disc, play sports, or engage in any similar or related shore activities in that space on the beach that's held in the public trust by the state. I can tell you right now that the people I knew who had property on the beach, up against the beach, didn't mind people walking across it. They only minded it when people would, for instance, have, you know, campfires there and then not clean up their mess. Or many of them would walk their dogs up and down the beach and wouldn't clean up that mess either. And it's, you know, unfortunate because the beach is one of the places that you actually spend a lot of time walking around barefoot. So the legislature might add or subtract items from that list in Indiana. But in the meantime, traditional beach activities continue to be permitted along the Lake Michigan shoreline unless there's a court order otherwise, which there isn't at this time. Talking about Indiana. So Natalie Johnson, executive director at Save the Dunes, one of the groups working to protect Hoosier access to the shoreline, said the organization is thrilled that the U.S. Supreme Court is leaving intact the landmark Indiana Supreme Court ruling. And this is the quote, though the attacks on the public trust are ongoing, we can now confidently move forward defending the Gunderson versus Indiana decision, ensuring the shoreline is open to all. Likewise, the Conservation Law Center in Bloomington said the result may be the most solid statement of the core public trust doctrine yet by a Great Lakes state. And just so you understand that this is not happening in only one state, I mentioned before there's a case in Michigan came down in 2005 called Glass versus Geckel, and it made it to our Michigan Supreme Court. And the argument was simply a woman was walking across a beach and somebody who owned the beach tried to stop her. And she went to court and said, I think I'm allowed to walk on that beach. And bless her, she took it to the Michigan Supreme Court. And the opinion says, the issue presented in this case is whether the public has a right to walk along the shores of the Great Lakes where a private landowner ostensibly holds title to the water's edge. To resolve this issue, we must consider two component questions. One, how the public trust doctrine affects private literal title. And literal in this sense is L-I-T-T-O-R-A-L, and it's a interchangeable term for riparian. Not interchangeable, but they're related terms in that literal means applying to the seas and their coasts, and riparian, often refers to, I hate it when they continue the footnote on another thing. And it says, although we've attempted to retain consistency in terminology throughout our discussion, we will at times employ the term riparian when the facts or the language previously employed so dictate. But literal and riparian are both referring to water rights and access to water rights that your property might be adjacent to. So we're going to be looking at the public trust doctrine affecting your private land rights as an adjacent landowner. And then whether the public, oh boy. I normally print out opinions before I read them, but this one was about 150 pages long, 119. So, and then also how the trust encompasses walking among the public rights protected by the public trust doctrine. That's where a comma would be helpful because you can't walk among your rights, but walking is among the rights. The court unanimously agrees that plaintiff does not interfere with defendant's property rights when she walks within the area of the public trust. Similarly, we cannot leave uncorrected the Court of Appeals. And the Court of Appeals had actually said that the landowners had the right of exclusive use down to the water's edge. And the Michigan Supreme Court said, absolutely not. They've got the right of exclusive use to the high watermark, the high watermark. So the woman who brought the action was Joan Glass, and she had argued that she had the right to walk along the shore of Lake Huron. And the defendants owned a piece of property, and they were trying to say that she was trespassing on their property when she walked along the shoreline. So the public trust doctrine was held to say that, you know, this land is being held in the public trust for the state of Michigan. And if you're a Michigan resident, you can enjoy it. By the way, so can the landowners. But they don't have the right to exclude people from that strip of land. And like I said, this has gone back for many, many years. And what's funny about this is if you go to an area where there's a lot of people who have cottages or homes along a beach or a lake area like this, you'll often see people who put no trespassing signs up, hoping that'll scare people off. And I actually saw a guy once who ran barbed wire down to the water's edge, but he did it about knee high. And I actually asked the guy, I'm just curious. I go, you know that that's not legal, right? And he said, well, I don't know. He goes, if they're allowed to walk on it, why am I not allowed to put barbed wire on it? And I said, well, because some people might think you're trying to keep them off that property. It's not your property. And he said, yeah, but he goes, they can walk on it. I can put stuff on it too. No one ever complained, as far as I know. Nobody ever went to the police about it either. But simply put, again, the issue is this. Right now, the U.S. Supreme Court has declined to hear the case brought by the Gundersons of Indiana, and they had been asking for the state to give them the land, and if the state wouldn't give it to them, they wanted the courts to do it, and the courts wisely said, no, it's not going to happen, and the Supreme Court refused to hear the case. So the Supreme Court did two really good things yesterday. Imagine that. Otherwise, that's what I got today. Questions or comments, fire them away. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.